You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Answer the responsibility we're given in Proverbs to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
In Wilberforce's day, going with the flow meant supporting slavery, that Africans are not fully human. In Bonhoeffer's world, in Nazi Germany, it meant supporting the idea that Jews are not fully human. So whom do we say is not fully human today? Who is expendable to us?
My religious beliefs affects my character and the way I treat people and the way I live.
I love how Chrysostom ties the transfiguration to the passion as though this is nothing. You want to really see some glory of God. Look at him dying and bleeding on the cross for your sins.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It takes a lot to get the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church, even here in America, up in arms, especially in Mass, and something has. If you were a Mass-going Roman Catholic this last Sunday, you likely heard from your bishop a letter saying something about health and human services regulations and birth control. But is this really about birth control or about religious liberty? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 2nd of February. Terry Mattingly joins us here for the first few minutes to talk about media coverage of reaction to faith groups and health and human services regulations that require support of birth control. Jay Watts will join us in a few minutes to talk about incremental pro-life legislation. And Colleen Carroll Campbell will be with us to talk about the risk girls face in a hypersexualized culture. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
I understand that if you were a Mass-going Catholic, you might have heard a direct message from your bishop on Sunday about health and human services regulations, of all things. What was said in these letters that were read in Mass, and why did I have to go to Get Religion to read about it?
Well, I mean, there has been coverage, but when you consider how astonishing the HHS regs are, and kind of the timing of all this. Let me, for those who are not quite up on what we're talking about, let me just kind of set the stage. It appears at this point that the Health and Human Services folks have decided that they get to determine how religious institutions handle health care in general, or specifically on the issue of birth control. This is really not a debate, however, about birth control. It's a debate about how much the government can force religious institutions to take actions, to fund actions that they believe are sinful, destructive, etc. It's an amazing, amazing story. Now, the bishops are spitting mad about this. I mean, I was reading a letter the other day from a bishop that in like five paragraphs contains the word hell like six times. You haven't heard so much talk about Hades and damnation from a Catholic bishop since I don't know what century. But what's really interesting about it is that Catholic leaders across the political spectrum and even theological spectrum are pretty much all mad. I don't think I have seen Catholic leaders on the left this upset about an action by a Democratic administration or Democratic leaders in quite some time. A perfect example of this was early on retired Cardinal Mahoney, who's kind of a hero of progressive Catholics after his years of ministry out in Los Angeles. He immediately went onto his blog and in the strongest political terms, and strongest terms I should say, condemned this action. And what was truly remarkable about it for a progressive Catholic leader he went right at the Obama administration in political terms, you know, and said this action must have been approved at the highest levels of the White House, including the president. They went after the president on a personal level real quick. And what I'm reading between the lines from my position in an office here on Capitol Hill, what I'm sensing here is that a lot of liberal Catholic leaders and just a lot of folks in this town in general are looking at this story and saying, why? Why now? Why pick a fight with Pope Benedict XVI in an election year? You know, why take on the separation of church and state? Because this would be, in most people's idea, a violation of the separation of church and state for the government to attempt to tell religious groups which doctrines they get to live out and which ones they have to violate. Why do that right now? This is the mystery of this story. And it's beginning to show up with more coverage in the op-ed pages. Were out front in the newspaper, my own local newspaper, the Baltimore Sun, for example. They went on the front page with, this is a fight about birth control. No, this really isn't a fight about birth control. This is a fight about religious liberty and what the government can demand of religious groups. When more evangelicals, more Orthodox Jews, more Muslims, and other traditional forms of religion, when this begins to sink in on them, what's going on, this is going to be a huge story.
What I find remarkable here is that anyone with a cursory knowledge of the track record of the Roman Catholic Church with regard to issues like this, they have just been completely immovable on this. Any reporter with just a cursory knowledge of that has to start asking the question, when we get to that deadline that the Obama administration has set, what's going to happen next? Why don't they go and start asking, what do you plan to do a year from now when this deadline comes? It's going to be in court. Those kind of questions could be asked right now, and you could get really good, informative, honest answers, probably from both sides.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen. I don't think that journalists are going to be able to ignore this one for long, in large part because I think it's quickly going to expand to where it isn't even just a Catholic issue. Even as important as the Catholic Church is and as big as it is, I think it's quickly going to expand beyond that. If you look behind the scenes at what's been coming up, this to some degree begins with the Belmont Abbey case, Belmont Abbey College down in North Carolina. And then Colorado Christian University out in the Denver suburbs immediately jumped on. It should be noted that the president of Colorado Christian University is retired U.S. Senator Bill Armstrong. So the fact that Colorado Christian University jumped on this is no coincidence. He immediately spotted the importance of this and saw kind of the legal and the political precedent this sets. I'll go you one more reason why I think some of these dots are going to start being connected. And that's very simply, a lot of journalists in this town also are looking at why now, because of that Supreme Court decision the other day. I mean, the Justice Department of the Obama administration just got handed a 9-0 Supreme Court ruling establishing the ministerial exception, which seems to be that the court isn't in a mood right now to try to get itself entangled in religious groups making doctrinal decisions about who their ministers are, but in this case also how they spend their resources. Now, of course, behind the scenes, there's another critical factor. Our listeners may have noticed the increasing debate over whether or not the administration is in favor of religious worship, the freedom to worship, as opposed to religious freedom, period. This is a kind of a growing controversy. The HHS regulations have a very narrow exemption, which basically says if you're a minister and what you're doing occurs in a church with pews, you can have an exemption, but if you are a religious organization that in any way interacts with the public, you're going to have to fund birth control, and you're going to have to follow all of our regulations. The clear target here is Christian higher education, Catholic hospitals, and a host of similar institutions that interact with the public. In other words, in terms of being exempt from state manipulation, Religion takes place in a pew. Religion that takes place outside of a pew, we're going to slap some controls on you. That's a heated area of constitutional and church state law, and that's going to go to the court. That is headed to the high court quick.
That would, at least from my layperson's perspective, severely narrow the definition of religious liberty.
Oh, completely. I mean, there was a fight about this years ago when I was the religion reporter in the Rocky Mountain News in Denver, and the state tax assessor basically tried to do the same thing. And she said, you're a tax-exempt religious organization if you have pews and you're a religious, you're a site of religious worship. But if you're doing things other than that, including activities that might in any way compete with secular institutions, and what she was going after there was daycare centers, religious nonprofit daycare centers versus for-profit daycare centers, then I'm going to tax you. I remember specifically there was a case of an institution in the Denver suburbs that existed for the sole purpose of producing audio cassettes and other educational materials for missionary groups. It was a nonprofit organization that did nothing but produce missionary materials, and she ruled it to be a secular institution and taxable. Well, this strict distinction between freedom of worship, which is the kind of language you would see in China, versus religious liberty, which is the kind of language you're used to seeing in America, is a huge divide. And right now the press is kind of like not wanting to go that far in covering it, but when this thing starts ramping up to the court, it's going to have to be covered.
We're talking with Terry Mattingly. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. When we come back, some more questions about that distinction between freedom of worship and religious liberty. Stay tuned.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues, Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, February the 2nd, we're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of the reaction of faith groups to Health and Human Services regulations that would require health care plans to cover birth control. So, Terry, if you're an editor and you're handing out questions to religion reporters, what questions would you hand out as they prepare to cover this very issue?
Yeah. Well, question number one, they should be looking to see applications of this other than just simply affecting Catholics. Second, they should be looking at all of the religious institutions that are in their zip codes that are affected by the stricter regulations as opposed to church groups, synagogue groups, or whatever else. And third, I think they must be challenged to actually see this as a broader story than the narrow birth control fight. What are the other issues that are going to get pulled into this, not just birth control?
I understand that Get Religion is actually celebrating an anniversary. Tell us about it.
Today, February 2nd, is the 8th birthday of Get Religion. I wrote the first article that went on the site on February 1st, but my dear friend and colleague Douglas LeBlanc clicked his mouse and put us online on February the 2nd. And we're coming up on like our 7,000th post and climbing toward 90,000 comments. You could imagine how many more comments we'd had if I allowed all the wild stuff to stay up about religion. But 8th birthday, it's very hard to believe that we've been around that long.
You have a short list of things you've learned. Give it to us, if you would.
Oh, you want me to read the whole thing right now? Real quickly, just a couple of ideas. One, we're not a blog about religion news. We're a blog about how the press struggles to cover religion. And my point of making that is we love to fight about the content of religion. Get Religion is trying to look at the press and how it works at religion. I think it's safe to say that a lot of people hate religion, and at the same time, there's a lot of religious people who hate the press. Get Religion has tried to get people to realize that the press has a valuable role to play in our society, and thus I argue that we're dealing with a blind spot with two sides. The two halves of the First Amendment just don't seem to like each other very much. The press doesn't seem to respect the role that religion plays, and religious people often don't respect the role that the press plays, which leads me to another one of my 8 points, which is the state of American religion will be improved by people who love journalism, not by people who hate journalism. If you want to improve journalism, you go in it on a positive stance. Another one of my points was that nobody today knows what the word evangelical means. I don't even think the Missouri Synod Lutherans know at this stage. It's turned into one of those vague things that people just throw around. And most of all, it's time for people to stop using the word as a political term, you know, that someone votes evangelical. A principle growing out of that was another one of my points, which is that it's time for reporters to stop labeling people in general in the world of religion and instead try to actually listen to their voices and let them explain what they believe. Another point I made was that when religious people continue to complain year after year after year that you're covering their lives in an inaccurate manner, it's time for the press to listen. At the same time, it's time for those religious leaders to return the phone calls of reporters who are trying to learn more, sincere reporters. Ed, I ended with a joke, and I'll just read that one verbatim. At some point in the future, there's going to be a story that involves Episcopalians, same-sex marriage, Mormons, post-Vatican II liturgical rites, and vampires. And the server that hosts this blog is going to blow up.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Oh, by the way, happy birthday then to Get Religion.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being our guest.
Okay.